Do you want to find solutions that help teams make better decisions, solve problems faster, and free their creative minds to come up with smarter solutions? There's a workshop for that. Bonjour, I'm Nati Ravez, and I'm delighted to welcome to this show facilitators and experts who share their knowledge and experience of everything you need to know in the world of facilitation, giving you tips and tools for leading groups, sparking collaboration, and driving innovation. Thank you for tuning in, and let's go.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode today with someone very special. We didn't manage to record our episode last year, as I announced, but he's here today, and I'm very happy to welcome Matthias Lenzen on the show. Hi, Matthias.
Hello, Nati. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in. I was so excited as I saw your work at the Facilitators Connect retreat that I thought, yeah, I need to have this guy on the show. So first, how was your transitioning to 2024? You're back from holiday?
Yes, we had a little celebration with our community. So I'm living in a small community project, and so it was little party, very nice.
Nice.
Nothing special, but very nice. Yeah, and I did some taping.
Nice, yeah, because Matthias, you're not a typical facilitator. And as I said, I saw your work, the environment that you created at the Facilitators Connect retreat. You are, of course, a workshop facilitator. I might have seen somewhere that you teach design thinking, so you are really deep in the subject. But you are the creator of Facilitape. I would know you the facilitator, if I may.
Sure.
And you are combining visual facilitation with tape art. So before you tell me what is tape art and what is it all about, I would love to hear a little bit of your background, how you came into facilitation and into what you are doing today.
Sure. So I started running workshops, I guess, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Workshops about design thinking, creativity, business model innovation, and so on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I do not have a training as a facilitator. Data. Mm-hmm. So it's all learning by doing and all experience. And tape art is a form of art I also just know for about maybe 5 years. So I use tape much longer than I know about tape art as a real thing. And mm-hmm. It started in the 90s, I guess, in the USA. And there are a few tape art collectives, people mm-hmm. who do that very professionally. So they do real art. They decorate whole houses and interiors with very cool things. So this is tape art. I'm not a tape artist. Maybe I have the white belt in tape art. Mm-hmm. And I'm on my way to become a yellow belt tape artist, maybe. But my sweet spot is that I use tape in workshops, and it's all started pretty much as a coincidence. We had boring cardboard plates as boards mm-hmm. for a workshop, mm-hmm. and someone, I don't know if it was me, I came, had the idea to put a colorful stripe of tape around it, mm-hmm. and it looked very good, and we liked it, and so it at this day it became a big love for me to work with tape, and since then, nearly no workshop of mine was without tape, so it started very easy, and now it's unthinkable for me to run a workshop without tape.
Yeah, it's always nice when you start something really by coincidence, and then you say, "Oh, this is good, and this is something I want to do now." So it means, did you have any capabilities in drawing and visual facilitation, because you are using this tape as a visual facilitation way of preparing a room?
I drew a lot as a child.
Okay.
and in school, so I have a hand for drawing, but not very special or not very good, but I liked it. And I'm also in my first agency, which I founded with a colleague, a study colleague, I became a designer for graphics for our clients. So I do not have a studied design or anything. I studied communication science. It was a very boring and dry thing. I became some sort of a designer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a connection to the visual thing. I'm a visual guy. I like visuals. And so it was pretty easy for me to develop this further.
Yeah. So just for the listeners who absolutely not know what it is about, I will just try to explain what I felt as I came in this place of the retreat of Facilitators Connect. It was in October in the Netherlands, and we came to this place with beautiful rooms, of course, but I think at the beginning there were nothing on the wall. And directly as I came in this rooms, there were a lot of tape art on the walls. Sometimes it was a big picture, and you cannot tell me this is not art, of the speakers, the three faces of the speakers on one wall. So it was in the room where the speakers would hold their workshops. But it was also in all the little rooms on the domain where we knew, okay, the agenda, what will going on in which of the rooms. It was all taped with colorful tapes on the wall. It was a place where we could make photos. So how do you explain what you are doing? Actually, you are preparing the environment where the groups are coming in, right?
Mm-hmm. So at the retreat, it was a little bit special because that was not the classical Facilitape case.
Mm-hmm.
The pictures of the speakers, for example, I took 2 or 3 hours to tape them.
Mm-hmm.
That I wouldn't do that for a normal workshop.
Yeah.
For a normal workshop, the sweet spot is to be quick and to be able to prepare room in less than an hour. Because you can imagine if it would take longer than an hour, then you're already exhausted before a workshop starts.
Sure.
Because taping is also, it's, you are very active while doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically it's that, preparing a room, really using all the possibilities of a room. I think in many cases, rooms are not fully used in a workshop. Often there are just the tables and chairs and maybe a circle in the middle, but there's so much more to room to use. The walls, the ceiling, the windows, the floor, of course. And so with tape, I create creative spaces, creative playgrounds. I create structure. I create guidance. I create little things to make the people laugh or to have a title on the wall from the workshop. So that is also different from workshop to workshop, from format to format, what I will do. Most of the cases, I do not prepare it anymore. So I just walk in a room and see what the room needs to become a playground. And then I start. Let it flow.
Okay. But you are a pro.
I have more than 10 years of experience. That makes it easier.
Yeah.
But I started a trainer workshop concept last year. And in that year, I also learned a lot what's in facilitating, because before I did it very intuitive, not thinking about it, just doing it. And now I'm reflecting it with a lot of very good facilitators. And so it became also a very interesting year for me to learn about my own thing.
Yeah, true. So, because when you're doing something by intuition, you are doing, you're not thinking. And if you want to bring it and to make it understandable for others, then you have to think, okay, what is going on in my brain? How can I explain it? Yeah.
But the good thing is, a lot of people who attended my workshops, they just started, and it's easy to start. You don't have to do great arts. Just put a few lines in the room, and it's different. And I saw a lot of pictures from participants. We have a LinkedIn group, for example, where we share inspiring pictures from workshops, and it's very cool to see how easy people can start with it, because it doesn't need much.
Yeah.
If you don't want to miss the release of future episodes, press the subscribe button on your podcast app and don't hesitate to send us your questions or comments, which I'll be sure to answer at podcast@laworkshoppers.com. I also invite you to sign up for our newsletter called La Workshoppers Gazette to receive valuable resources on facilitation, upcoming events, podcast guests, and services offered by La Workshoppers team.
Of course, the workshop starts way before the workshop day. We are really deep in on what is the purpose of the workshop. We are creating a journey where we know, okay, where our participants are started, what do we want to have at the end of the workshop. We are preparing the story, the activities, and what is the benefit of, on the top, on everything what we are preparing before the workshop, does it give a structure also for the facilitator himself and not only for the group?
That's the cool thing. I think that tape can complete you as a facilitator, and you can use tape so that it benefits your style of facilitating a workshop. So, for example, I'm a very chaotic, unstructured person. So I give the room more structure. So it gives me more structure, and I don't, for example, taping the agenda on the wall, I have it on the wall, so I can't forget it, and I know what's the next step. And it's very present. If you are a more structured person, you maybe can do more inspiring stuff so that you don't have to do that. This is a cool thing. That it can complete you as a facilitator in some way. And for me, I also need to feel that this room is a playground for me, and I own the room. And the tape helps me to think the room is very special and very nice and people will love it. And so I'm very confident for the workshop. So it helps me a lot. Sometimes I would do it anyways, just for me, because then I'm in my strength.
I mean, there are some workshop facilitators that I admire, like Brittany Waring, who is creating her peaks moment. With your workshops, the peaks moment is from the start, because you're coming in this room and you're already this colorful, because you are using really colorful tapes. It's not only a black tape. You have the pink that I love, by the way. What is the name of this fluo?
Neon.
Neon. Thank you.
Neon tapes, yeah.
Neon tapes. Yeah, what kind of tapes are you using? Is it a special tape? Because you have to take care that it's not staying on the wall, I guess.
Yeah, the question about the tape is the most important one. And okay. You also have to speak with facility management beforehand to avoid bad surprises. I use a tape called console tape from Pro Tapes. It's a US-based company, and I didn't find a better one. I'm not getting any commission or something like that, but they are, for this case, they are the best tape because it's a paper tape, paper-based tape, and it's very sticky, but it's also good to remove it.
Yeah.
At my home, for example, the picture on the back, pictures like that, like they are for 1 year or something like that, and it's no problem to remove it.
What are you doing with the tape at the end?
At the end of my workshops, I create little art pieces from it.
Oh, nice!
Because I was also thinking about the garbage that comes with it.
Yeah.
But it's not much, and yeah, you can do little pieces. For example, one idea could be to remove the tape with the participants after a workshop and to have little tokens from the workshop as a reminder, which you can put on your desk to remind you of that workshop, or make together a piece of art for the office.
Mm-hmm.
I try to build little figures from it. So there are a few creative ways I can think about.
Nice. And I saw also, because I was looking at your website and I was looking on the LinkedIn group, you are using the tape not only to prepare the room, but it's also a part of some of the activities. I mean, I saw a tape on the floor where a group of people were in different circles. So you are really using the tape to prepare the activities, so to say.
Yeah, you can also do energizers with tape. That's no problem. It's round, colorful-looking things. They are good for every workshop.
Mm-hmm.
But you can imagine as big templates.
Yeah,
true. And templates you can walk in. That's also cool.
Crazy.
And this is the kind of the expression here is the embodiment. So to do more movement, to integrate more movement and your whole body into thinking and walking around in a workshop, and tape can activate that.
Yeah.
So you can create different zones in a room. And as you saw it, you can use it as a methodology. For easy one would be, every facilitator knows that you have a line on the ground, and you ask people, where are you from, who is the traveled the most, for example, and then you can stand on this line. So it's a very easy one. I like it a lot to make little triangles on the floor, because it looks nice, and you can use it in the beginning as a check-in to build small groups and ask them, find a thing you have in common in your triangle.
Yeah.
And at the end, you can then share as a checkout, okay, what did I learn in a little group or in the triangle? Or you can create something with tape in this triangle to show to the others what they learned. So you can reuse things you used in the beginning, also in the end. That's also the cool thing about tape. It's very flexible. So I prepare certain things, but I also work with it in the workshop. So in methods, when I work with the participants, but also when they do something, I don't need to moderate in that moment, then I can prepare something new in the room with a tape. So I can change the room during a workshop.
Wow.
It's also a very nice aspect.
Yeah. May I ask, what kind of workshops are you leading with? Is this with companies, with organization? What kind of challenges you are solving in your workshops?
Yeah, so my home turf for workshops is design thinking, innovation, new ideas, creativity, And I work with small and big companies.
Okay, and they are not surprised when you're coming with your... I mean, because some corporates or some organizations are very serious, and even if they want to try something new with workshops and stuff like that, they are not. How do they react when they see your work?
As a good facilitator and a good preparation up front, I check about the amount of tape I will use.
Yeah.
So. And if I know that it's a very conservative company, I don't use too much tape. Mm-hmm. For example, to not create distance. In the beginning. But I never got really bad feedback. The old white guys tend to like it. And I had a few workshops this year where we taped a lot, and it was not only workshops where other facilitators learned it, but also teams that came up with a vision, for example, they used the tape, and everyone was activated and contributed to the workshop.
Yeah, nice. So you are now a little bit also focusing on to share this knowledge with other facilitators. So how do you start with this? I mean, of course, taking part of your masterclass or courses, I guess, but what is the method for you to bring it by to the others?
My workshop concept is the first part is just use tape, do some little exercises about letters, writing, because words on the wall are the first thing you can easily do, and I have a few tricks that it looks good from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Not much, so it's pretty easy to make it look good. With little graphics and visuals, that's the first part of the workshop. And then I show a lot of things from the last 10 years of facilitating.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part of the workshop is very open for everything the participants want to do. So somebody wants to just do more tape arty stuff, and someone has a workshop in mind, and we can come up with a first little tape concept for that workshop, and do little prototypes in the second part of my workshop to get a feeling how it could look like, or I'm a sparring partner to discuss how a certain concept can work with tape, can be enriched with tape. But first thing is you just need two nice kind of tapes, not the normal ones in the facilitator suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
the beige brown one.
Beige brown one. Yeah.
And start with some little things. Just a greeting on the floor, for example, or on the wall for the participants. So it's not rocket science.
Okay.
I guess it takes a lot of experience to really get a room and to develop this kind of flow so that the room becomes the paper, which you can paint on with tape for your workshop. So I guess this takes a little time and practice, but I can just invite everyone to get some tape and to start it. And with my workshops, of course, there's a little help doing that.
And about your workshops, I saw on your website that you are in Germany. So you are giving some workshops for facilitators to learn that in Germany, and everyone can ask for, hey, come in our town, but mm-hmm. are you giving also workshops online?
Not yet, but I'm working on a landing page to ask people if they would like an online course.
Yeah.
So, and then if there are enough people, I will do an online course. I did two digital formats this year with 5 people each,
mm-hmm.
And they worked. So I sent them a little list of what they should buy,
mm-hmm.
and they needed a white wall behind them. And then here we did remote taping.
So this is an appeal on the followers of the podcast. If you want to get an online digital workshop from Matthias to learn how to tape, send us a message and then we will inform Matthias. Because I would love to.
I want to do an international workshop this year, maybe in the Netherlands, because mm-hmm. that's not too far from Cologne.
Mm-hmm.
So this is on my list, and there are also one is in Switzerland this year. Already had a date for that.
It was in May? Yeah,
in May. May 15 and 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course there are workshops in Berlin, Hamburg, Munich, where I already have dates. And for people who want to join, in my newsletter, I will send it out this week, I guess. I will communicate the planned dates for this year.
And we will put it all in the show notes. And I hope I will have the honor to be in one of your workshop. Since I'm leaving Germany, I hope for a digital workshop. That would be nice. Or a virtual workshop, sorry. Thank you very much, Matthias. It was really, really nice to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
And I wish you a lot of success in 2024, because I'm absolutely sure we will hear more and more about you.
Thank you very much. I wish you that too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope this episode has piqued your curiosity and caught your attention. All the information about Matthias and his upcoming workshops to teach you how to facilitate is listed in the footnotes. And now I'm very excited to announce that next week we'll be releasing the first spin-off episode, Rendezvous with La Workshoppers Team. It will feature my two collaborators, Audrey Touvenin, whom you already heard from in the previous episode, and Appa, who is an high-skilled workshop experience designer and also part of the behind-the-scenes of this show. In these spin-off episodes, we'll be unpacking our thoughts on facilitation, workshopping, and a silly little thing called life. In a fortnight time, I'll be joined by Deborah Rimoiseau from Session Lab to talk about the state of facilitation 2024. I'm very curious about it. Until then, I wish you good health, success, and lots of happiness. Au revoir.